Welcome to the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, where the senior pastor is the Reverend Dr. Charles B. Jackson, Sr. Brooklyn has two locations, one church. For more information about all the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. That's BrooklynBaptist.org. As we prepare for the word today, please reference number 030319. How to fight the good fight. Coming from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. We now join the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, already in progress. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Hymn singing had become obsolete, old-timey, unnecessary. And see, the purpose of the hymns from the book of Psalms was to keep their faith practice in clear perspective. They sang the great hymns to remind them that their worship was all about Him. H-Y-M-N for H-I-M. Let me say it again. H-Y-M-N for H-I-M. The people began drifting. They weren't dedicated anymore. They didn't go to church like they used to. And preachers weren't preaching with power under the anointing anymore. The church was under attack. The people were, as the elders would say, backsliding. Paul, sitting in a Roman jail, looks back over his life and says, I am now ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul says, in essence, the enemy attacked me on every side. Opposition arose from unlikely sources. Evil raised its ugly head to defame my character and ruin my reputation. Paul said, hate and hostility teamed up against me. My life at times seemed to have been broken and battered by dejection and disappointment. Paul said, I was buffeted by tragedy, weakened by sickness, saddened by rejection, hurt by the indifference of others, and wounded by injustice. But as I come to the end of life's journey, I am happy to report, son, I have fought a good fight. I never gave up. I never gave in. Sometimes I felt discouraged, but I held fast to the faith. I never turn around. Paul said, and I write to you, my son, to let you know that I am not uneasy about my tomorrow. Are y'all praying there? I'm not worried about what's going to happen to me. I know that I soon will have my head placed on Nero's chopping block, but I'm not uneasy about it. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Good fight. Good fight. So the question becomes, how do we fight the good fight? How do we live our lives like the Apostle Paul and go through hell and high water and keep on fighting? How do we keep fighting amid crumbling foundations, irrelevant truth, a lack of integrity, character assassination, moral deterioration, ethical decay? How do we fight the good fight when there is an apparent evil in the atmosphere? Daniel 7:25 is clearly evident. The time will come when he who opposes the Most High God will try to wear out the saints of God, destroy sacred worship and moral practice. So how do you fight the good fight when you know that such a time is now with us? How do you fight the good fight? Inquiring minds want to know. Well, to fight the good fight, first of all, we must identify the enemy. Against whom are we fighting? I am not your enemy. You are not my enemy. Your husband is not your enemy. Watch this now. Your wife is not your enemy. Your parent, your father, your mother is not your enemy. Your child, your son, your daughter is not your enemy. Your brother, your sister is not your enemy, according to Paul. Stay with us now. Your supervisor, your co-worker is not your enemy, not according to Paul. That person can become your enemy. When you were born, your parents were not your enemy. When your brothers and sisters grew up together, wherever you live, you didn't look upon them as your enemies. Oh, y'all pray me now? When you began working wherever you now are employed, at the time of which you began your employment, your supervisor, your co-workers were not your enemies. Oh, y'all pray me now? So persons whom we look upon as our enemies must understand that they're really not our enemies, but they can become our enemy if they allow the enemy to use them. Oh, somebody better help me. Help me. Are you ready? If you allow the enemy to use you, you can become an enemy to whomever. Are y'all praying me now? In fact, you can become your own enemy. Some time ago, I told you about the enemy that is in a me. You can do harm to yourself. You can hurt yourself. You can be your own worst enemy if you don't know who the enemy is. Man who has been created in the image and after the likeness of God is not an enemy to man. Man who has the God spirit indwelling him or her is not the enemy to man. Man who is made of flesh and blood is not the enemy to man. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, says in Ephesians 6 and 12 that we are not wrestling against people made of flesh and blood, but we are fighting against powers without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, against huge members of wicked spirits in the spirit world. We are fighting against the devil's demons. That's why I got to teach this. When you find yourself being unable to pull it together, it is likely that you're fighting against the devil's demons who don't want you to get it together. That bad or that mean attitude you have deep down within, you seriously want a change of attitude, but for some reason you can't. It is likely because the devil's demons don't want you to have peace of mind. When you are hostile toward others and violently try to hurt and destroy somebody else, and you know that it is not your character, the reason you can't change is because the devil's demons don't want you to have the love of God in your heart. You say you're going to forget it. You're leaving it alone. You're not bringing it up anymore. You're moving on with your life. It's over, done with. You put it behind you. But after a while, you're bringing it up again. The devil's demons don't want you to forgive and press forward, because the devil knows you can't go forward looking back. So whether we call him the devil, Satan, or the evil one, he is the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ and of our own souls. The reason I'm led of the Spirit for us to study how to fight the good fight is because many of us do not know where and how he strikes. We don't know the devil's tactics. We don't understand the spirit realm in which he operates. Our modern day has lulled us to sleep by robbing evil of its living terror. We have substituted other expressions for evil, such as psychological complexes. No, he's not evil. He has sociological determinism. He's not evil. He has biological urges. We depersonalize the devil's demons and seek to explain away evil so that in our minds, evil will lose its frightening personal reality. So rather than calling it what it is and dealing with it in the spiritual realm, in the manner in which the Bible, God's word, has told us to do, we prefer to resist, and we prefer to resolve this inner conflict by engaging in educational methods. The conflict is on the inside of us, and so we are referring to it and its social implications and its psychiatric therapy. We're trying to fight a spiritual war using the weapons of the world. I want to bless y'all. I want to bless y'all for the next 13 or more weeks. Fighting a spiritual war using our finite knowledge. Fighting a spiritual war with our lack of understanding. Our human incapabilities. Could that be one of the reasons why we suffer with months of depression? And sometimes don't even know it. Last Sunday, Dr. Kier Ross blew me away when he said that over 4 million students are diagnosed with anxiety and depression. And so I said to myself, the number doesn't even include those whom I know in our communities. It's only those who've been diagnosed. So I was interested, if we have that many students diagnosed with anxiety and depression, what about adults? So Dr. Ross, I went home. I told you I was going to stay with that message. I went home to look about adults. So I searched and learned that anxiety disorders affect over 40 million adults age 18 and over in the United States. Wait a minute. You missed that. 4 million students, over 40 million adults diagnosed with anxiety and depression. And I read some of the treatment plans. Of course, nothing in the treatment plans I read had anything to do with the Bible, God's word. Somebody better hear what I'm trying to say here now. Nothing is mentioned about prayer. And John 10:10 says, the thief, the enemy, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal your joy and everything which you value. Kill your hopes and dreams. Destroy your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the enemy does. We have to learn how to identify the enemy. Reverend Laura Coleman wrote a book on depression and talked about the prophet Elijah, who suffered from depression. The prophet Jeremiah, in a book, suffered from depression. John the Baptist suffered from depression. What did they do? How did they overcome? They relied on God. When they found the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy, they drew closer to God. They searched for a closer walk with God. God lifted them. God picked them up. God turn their circumstances around. And I know I got some witnesses in here who have given up the medication prescribed for you, and you just drew closer to God. You began to depend and rely on God, the God who lives inside of you. Many who did not give up the medication, you relied on God, and God, through the anointing of medical professionals, helped you overcome it. You got to include God when you're fighting this battle. They fought the good fight because they knew who the enemy was. If I know who the enemy is, I know that I'm no match for the enemy. I've got to rely on God. Secondly, watch this. Watch this. To fight the good fight, you have to strengthen your God spirit. I'm going to have to deal with that in Bible study, because I'm going to just kind of whet your appetites on it, okay? 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is within me than he, whoever, whatever that's in the world. I want you to hide that in your heart. I want you to hide that in your heart. Greater is he that's within me. I have God in me. Let me say that again. I have God in me. And the enemy is no match for our God. Oh, let me say it again. Woo! Woo! Let me see if I can help you understand where the devil's demons reside. And of course, I'll expound on it in Bible study. The devil's demons reside in the second heaven. You didn't know that, did you? Watch this. The reason we are no match for them is because they live in the second heaven. Their headquarters is located in a high place. That's why Paul said spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me briefly explain it. The Bible begins in Genesis 1:1 by saying, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Some translations drop the S from heavens, but the original Hebrew version, Reverend Jameson, of the Old Testament says heavens with an S. God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word for heavens is shamayim. I am shamayim. Is the plural ending. I am is the plural ending. So the first time heaven is mentioned in the Bible at creation, it's in the plural. In 2 Chronicles 2:6, Solomon is dedicating the temple he built for the Lord, and he prayed. But who is able to build a temple for the Lord, since the heavens, even the highest heaven, or heaven of heavens, cannot contain him? The phrase heaven of heavens, or highest heaven, suggests a heaven that is as high above heaven as heaven is above the earth. Are y'all with me here? In 2 Corinthians 12:2, the Apostle Paul talks about a man who was caught up in the third heaven. So now, if there is a third heaven, then there must be a first heaven and a second heaven. Let's explore it further in the scripture. In Ephesians 4:10, Paul talks about the death and resurrection of Jesus and says, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens. Whenever you use the word all, you are speaking of at least three. Paul is not talking about one heaven or two heavens, which would mean both. Paul says, all, good God Almighty, all the heavens, which means at least three. So according to the scripture, there are at least three heavens. The first heaven is the visible and natural heaven, with the sun, the moon, and the stars that we see with our own eyes. According to 2 Corinthians, the third heaven is God's dwelling place. It is the third heaven to which we refer when we say we are going where Jesus is. The third heaven is the place of inheritance for believers. Job, the Old Testament and pre-Christ, talked about where the wicked will cease from troubling, and the weary shall be at rest. He's not talking about earth. He's not talking about the first heaven. Not talking about the second heaven. He's talking about the third heaven, where Jesus is. Now, the second heaven, of course, is located between the first heaven and the third heaven. The devil's demons have their headquarters in the second heaven. Did y'all get that now? The devil's demons have their headquarters located in the second heaven. The hosts of sin reside in the second heaven. Y'all mighty quiet. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good news. The forces of evil take up residence in the second heaven. Spirit of the living and loving God has residence in the third heaven. The footstool of mercy and the throne of grace is in the... Y'all got me here. The stool of mercy, the throne of grace are located in the third heaven. The devil's demons are in the second heaven. The sun, the moon, and the stars are in the first heaven. And you and I are on planet Earth. The reason Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 1 that men ought always pray so that they won't faint. The reason 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says pray without ceasing is because our prayers have got to go through the second heaven before they can reach the throne of grace. I want to bless somebody. I want to bless somebody here. Let me say it again. You're on planet Earth. And you're praying. And your prayer got to reach the throne of grace. The throne of grace is in the third heaven. But my prayer got to go through the first heaven and the second heaven, where the devil demons reside, before it can get to the third heaven. That is why some of y'all can't get a prayer through. The sin in your life blocks the prayer when it rewet, because it gets caught up in the second heaven, because the second heaven identifies with sin. How can a prayer from one who is living in sin and doing sinful things have not been forgiven? How can that prayer get to the third heaven when it got to go through the place of sin, which is the second heaven? Because when that prayer goes up, are y'all praying now? The devil's demons living in the headquarters on the second heaven can relate. Come on here, come on here. Yeah, I ain't worried about this prayer getting up, because we got company. Sin in our lives blocks the prayer when it reaches the second heaven. So if you want to fight the good fight, strengthen your guard spirit. In other words, keep on praying. Are y'all praying here now? Huh? You want to strengthen your guard spirit? Keep on praying. Stay in the word. Fellowship and worship with believers. Keep on praying. Don't you stop praying. Stay in the word. Don't you get out of the word. Fellowship with believers in the church. You need other saints. You can't do it by yourself. You got to call on some other prayer warriors. You need some intercessors to go down on their knees and say a prayer for you, because the prayer got to get through the second heaven before God can receive it in the third heaven. And that's why everybody can't pray for me. I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't asking nobody to pray for me who can't get a prayer through for themselves. I want somebody who knows how to get the prayer through the second heaven to reach the throne of God's grace to pray for me. Strengthen your God spirit with prayer. That's why I'm so glad we're returning to prayer services on Wednesday night. We're going to teach at 6 to 7, and right after that, we're going to pray. We got to pray collectively. We got to pray collaboratively. We got to pray together, because we got to break through the mess that's in the second heaven so our prayers can reach the throne of God's grace. And then you stay in holy worship. I don't care what you say about it. You better stay in worship. Stay where God has you. Let God lead you where he wants you to go. So my beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have identified the enemy, and when you have strengthened your God spirit, third and finally, all you got to do then is stand. If you know who the enemy is, and you have made strong, and we're going to demonstrate it in Bible study, you made strong your God spirit, then just stand and keep on standing. Satan, good God Almighty, is no match for those who stand with God. Stand. The devil is a liar. Stand for holiness. Stand for righteousness. Stand and be counted among them that shall reign with him. And the Lord told me to tell you today, keep on standing. Don't you be enticed by the attractiveness of this world's pleasures. Keep on standing. Don't you let the devil discourage you. Keep on standing. Don't you let the enemy steal your joy. Keep on standing. Have I got any witnesses in here? I want y'all to pray for me for the next 90 seconds. Got any witnesses in here? Are you going to stand? Keep on standing. Ephesians 6 and 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may stand against the wiles and the tricks of the devil. Stand in these last and evil days, and having done all to stand, keep on standing, keep on standing. I don't know about you, but I'm standing on the promises of God, because the promises of God will not fail me. Keep on standing. I don't care what comes or goes. Keep on standing. I want you to leave here this day of worship with a prayer on your heart. If you don't mind, I want you to look at your neighborhood. Look at your community. Look at schools. I want you to look at your friends and look among your family. And I want you to pray with me when we leave this worship today. So many falling by the wayside. Lord, so many falling by the wayside. Lord, help me to stand. So many falling by the wayside. Lord, help me to stand.
This concludes broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, and to obtain a copy of this service in its entirety, please reference number 030319, 030319. How to fight the good fight. Give us a call, 803-796-6103. That's 803-796-6103 is your number to call. Put this in your library. Right now, let's get a word from our pastor. Hey, pastor.
Hello. I am Reverend Charles B. Jackson, senior pastor of the Brookland Baptist Church. I want to take a moment and thank you for tuning into our weekly broadcast.
Consider joining us at our weekly service, 8:15 a.m. or 11 a.m. If you would like to contribute to the ministry of building the next generation of believers, please go to our website at www.brooklandbaptist.org and click on the giving icon. We look forward to meeting you and your family in the future at Brookland.